Hopefully to some of you, the whole doc thing makes sense now with the Hook video. Is it making sense a little bit more for you? Like, why am I here and why is there a doc on the stage? Kind of weird, huh? Just be honest. Some of you felt like that. Hey, my name is Sean Jensen. Thanks for coming out. Do me a favor. Look at the person next to you and say, I've waited all week to sit next to you. Come on, tell them. Now tell, if that wasn't your wife and you looked at the other person, you are in trouble. Now tell the person on the other side, I have waited all week to sit next to you. I have waited all week to sit next to you. I'm glad that you guys came out. My name is Sean Jensen, and you already saw my beautiful wife up here. We get to pastor this place together, and I'm grateful to be a part. I am excited about today. I'm going to get right into it. Me and my wife and six other people from our team got to spend time in Nashville at the Belonging Conference, and God just did some work in that place. And just wanted to tell you guys, everyone who prays for your pastors, me and Liz and our team, thank you so much because God answered a lot of prayer the last few days. So appreciate that a lot. He did. So we are in a series called Hooked, and we've been in this passage of scripture in Luke 5, 1 through 11. We're familiar with the disciples, we're familiar with Jesus, and we've been looking through the story of when Jesus first called his disciples, the 12. And we've been looking at it, and we've been in this passage of scripture, and we'll be in it this week and next week too. And we are giving you guys tools that you need from your toolbox to go fishing, because we learned last week that hook people go fishing. Jesus did not set us free and rescue us so we could just hang on to it and share, give this thing to ourselves. He did it so we could be a light to others and bring more into what God is doing. Hook people. And so we've been in Luke, and last week we talked about location, that if you want to have compassion for hurting and broken people, you have to be in the same environment as hurting and broken people. And we learned that if we want to have a compassion for the people Jesus had, we need to be around the people that Jesus were around. Like, Sean, that's exactly what I need to listen to. That's good. You can go on roadhouse.church/messages, and you can check it out or go to our iTunes podcast, because Colin Duncan is a IT Jedi. So thank you, Colin Duncan and the team, for making sure we can get that up there. They have also been working hard and diligent towards video podcasts so that we'll be able to put those back online. So be praying for them as we work those kinks out as well. Luke 5, 1 through 11. We're going to read the same scripture as last week, and then we're going to focus on, we're going to focus on verse 5. Luke 5, 1 through 11. I have no sleep. 1 through 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of I already told you this, Sea of Galilee, because I don't like pronouncing that word. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Remember, we are a deep church. Can I get an amen? We are a deep church. We rescue people in the deeps. When they had done so, Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. So be careful when you come into an environment like this and you see people who are worshiping fall at their knees and start worship. Before you criticize them and say, that looks weird, just remember that the very first disciple that got called was responsive to Jesus' miraculous catch, that person just may have received the blessing that you haven't received yet. And don't criticize them for getting at Jesus' knees, because we don't deserve any of the blessings he has given us, but we thank him for them anyways. That was free. That was free for you. Where was I at? Can you guys help me here for a second? When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. Verse 9, for he had his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Why? Because hook people. There it is. So they... Thanks, Courtney. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Lord, we pray right now that you would just speak to our church. We are not here for more information. We are here for revelation. And we need your transforming power. We want to look like Jesus everywhere we go because this nation is hurting and they need people who look like Jesus more than ever. So Lord, Holy Spirit, speak to us, move through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So summer's kind of coming to an end. We left and it was like 68 degrees or so, right? And then we come back and now it's 80s again. I don't know why. We live in Illinois, sometimes we do, but we're kind of coming at the end of summer, and last week we forgot that we bought a pool for our girls so they could swim, you know, one of those ones that you can like chill in there with, like the inflatable, no chlorine or whatever. You know, the ones where you forget to drain the water and you go out there, it looks like a swamp. Anybody else? Like it smells, what's that smell? Why does it smell so fun? Oh, it's because everything is fermenting in the pool. Gross. That kind of pool. And so we would like clean it out, deflate it, inflate it sometimes. And we went on a vacation. And so I came back and the girls were ready to swim because they were swimming on vacation so much. And so I was like, you know what? I'll blow the pool up for them, babe. You just watch them or do whatever. I'll go out. I'll be the man of God and I will serve you and my kids. And I will blow that pool up in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to do it. I want to do it. So I went out there. I think I actually did because I'm introverted. I just wanted to get away from the noise for a little bit. And I went out there, and I started blowing up that pool. Guys, I had a power pump to blow up that pool, and I was just toiling. It was hot out. It was like 98 degrees out. Some of you started singing that song. It was 98 degrees out, and I was pumping out the pool, and there was these little, like, the little places where you put, you know, the spout in, and you start blowing it up, and I was doing that, and it was taking forever, and I was holding because you had to hold it tight, and if you just moved it, the air would come back out, and it was frustrating, and I was saying words I shouldn't be saying. Don't think those words, just words from my own heart. I was like, I shouldn't be saying it. I shouldn't be thinking this. I'm 100% sure I didn't swear, but I was thinking about it. And I was waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and it's just taking forever. And I'm like, first off, my compassion for my wife just escalated to a whole nother level, because I was like, how many times has she done this? And finally, that section's up. Well, there's two more sections. So I'm just like, there's got to be a way to do this better. But I just keep going and going and going, and I go and go, because I could probably ask my wife, like, is there a way to do this better? But we're men, so we don't do that. So she comes out about 20 minutes later. I'm probably already sunburnt because the moon gives me sunburn or moonburn. I get moonburn because I'm so white. So I'm out in the sun for 20 minutes. Forget my sunscreen in 9-degree weather. And I'm just like getting burnt. I'm getting sweaty. I'm like, by the time this is up, I'm going to go take a nap. You guys can play in the pool. This is exhausting. And she comes out. She goes, oh, honey. Or, oh, honey, bless your heart. And I looked at her. She goes, did you know that on the other side of the pool, there's like bigger holes that you can put? Right? You know those times where you're like, why would you tell me this now? Like, I've been out here for 20 minutes getting burnt by the sun, slaving away, and you're in there, and I'm looking at this inflatable pool. This thing is from the pit of hell. Well, everything sold at Walmart, and you're sitting here telling me, oh, bless your heart. You see that it's inflated already. Why would you tell me this information now? Where were you 20 to 30 minutes ago? I don't know about you, but I wonder if the disciples felt like that after working all night long and catching nothing. And then Jesus goes, let's go out for a catch. And they catch a multitude of fish. I'd be like, where were you last night at like 10 at night? We've been here all night. Toiling, putting the nets out, pulling that back up, taking the boat somewhere else, putting the nets down, picking them back up. I had to listen to John's same stories he tells every fishing trip all night because everyone has a John in their family, right? Everyone's got a John in their friends. Like, he's going to tell this story, and this story. Just act like he's never told them before and shake your head and smile. All night. And now, when we're about ready to bring the stuff in, we're washing our nets, we're cleaning them. Now we just want to go back out and fish. And I don't know about you, but do you ever have that moment like, where were you 20 minutes ago? Where were you last night? Where were you last week? Where were you when I needed you? And now you show up. I don't know if you've ever felt like that, but being a Christian, get ready. If you just made this decision, it's about to go down. And most times we work so hard all night is because God asks us not even to go fishing, but we do it in our own strength and nothing comes of it. But when he says to go, then so much more happens because he can do more in a second than we can do in a lifetime. And we spend all of our energy working towards something that we see no fruit in, and because he didn't tell us to do it, but when he says go, then we see the fruit of it. This is how Jesus works. And I look here, and it was so inconvenient at this moment for the disciples to even listen to Jesus. And not just that, Peter was the fisherman. Jesus was a carpenter. I'd be like, that's cool. Go build a chair or build our boat. I'll take it from here. But Peter said, but if you say so, I'll do it. Now, I look at this and I realize that in this moment, I think the reason why Jesus didn't tell him last night, you know, like after 20 minutes of toiling or all night of toiling, I think Jesus waited until it was inconvenient. Because he wasn't looking for disciples that would follow him when it was convenient. He was looking for disciples that would follow him when it was inconvenient. So when he called the disciples, he called them when it was inconvenient, not when it was convenient. You see, I look at the story and I realize that this is how Jesus works. I mean, this is it. I think Jesus waits until it becomes inconvenient because following Jesus is anything but convenient. Anything but it. I don't know what you have heard. I don't know what someone has told you. But following Jesus is anything but convenient. And so he waited for them to fish all night until they were tired, until they were exhausted. They had nothing left to give. And he said, this is the perfect time to see if they'll be obedient now. Why? Because they're going to have to push against a lot of flesh to follow me. And if we are believers of Christ, we got to realize that following Jesus is anything but convenient. Luke 9, let me show you this. Luke 9, verse 57 through 62. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. The concept is cool when you see someone like Jesus in front of you. Check this dude out. He turns a Big Mac into 40 Big Macs. Have you seen this dude? You don't like water? That's fine. He'll turn it to wine. We got to follow this guy. This guy is cool. He's so cool. And they said, I want to go where you go, Jesus. And he said, foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head. I like my bed. He said to another person, come, follow me. The man agreed, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. What he was saying was not that his dad just died. What he's saying is I'm going to wait until my dad does die and I'm going to bury him and then I'll come back and then I'll follow you. And he said, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me take a selfie. I mean, let me say goodbye to my family. That's what he said. But Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What is he saying? Oh, you want to follow me because of the cool things I've done? You want to follow me because you see my highlight reel? Because it's really cool to look on stage and be like, man, Pastor Sean and Liz and the worship team, I want to be up there so bad. Are you sure? Because when the enemy starts knocking at your door at 3 a.m. and he's scaring you to death, do you still want to be in that position? Because we look at everybody's highlight reel, but we don't see the behind the scenes it took to get where they are. And Jesus is saying, that's cute that you want to follow me, but let me give you an insight of my nights. Let me give you an insight when there's nowhere to sleep. Let me give you an insight of how inconvenient it actually is to follow Jesus. It is inconvenient. And he waits until that moment for people to say, I will choose even in my convenience to be obedient. Jesus doesn't want to know if we'll obey him when it's convenient. He wants to know if we'll obey him when it's inconvenient, when the bank account is low, when the sickness is in your body, when the things are going on around you. He wants to know, will you still believe? Will you still have faith? And will you still do what I ask you to do, even if it costs your reputation, even if your family will turn their back on you? Will you do it when it's inconvenient, not convenient? We have a lot of convenient Christians today. It's convenient. Sunday's convenient for me because if I come to the 9:30, I can make it home before the Bears game. I like the Bears game, don't get me wrong. But it's okay to miss 12 minutes of the game to encounter God. I promise you, it will change your life. But we have made Christianity be anything but convenient. And now what we do as churches is we make sure to go out of our way to make sure people feel like it can be convenient to come in. And I just want to set this record straight. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, it's not going to be convenient when you follow him, but it will be rewarding. He will take care of you. He is faithful. He will give you peace in the storm. He will give you love in your heart. He will provide for you when you have no provision. But there's going to be nights that you're not going to have to sleep. There's going to be nights you're going to be in a fox den. He says, I know you're tired, but let's go out and catch this big, deep. I know it's inconvenient. I know it's inconvenient to give your 10%. But Jesus, if you said so. I know it's inconvenient to be at church this morning. But Jesus, if you said so, I know it's inconvenient to serve others, but because you said so, I know it's inconvenient to stay at home by yourself because the temptation is too high when you go out with that group of friends, but because you said so, I know it's inconvenient to make room in a church because you have sat in that spot every single week, but that new person needs that chair, so you might just need to get up because Jesus said so. I know it's inconvenient to go and give beyond of people who don't know Jesus yet, but Jesus said so. I know it's inconvenient to forgive, and it hurts, but because you said so. I know it's inconvenient to love people who have different beliefs than me, but because you said so. Jesus waits until it's inconvenient, because hooked people don't wait when it's convenient. They do it when it's inconvenient. As you're taking notes, you should be, that's right. The name of this message is called An Inconvenient Truth. An inconvenient truth. Like, oh, Sean, you're one of those guys, huh? No, really. Because Jesus at this moment was giving them a truth that was kind of inconvenient. Got nowhere to sleep. Got nowhere to go. But the truth of the matter is, I'm going to preach the kingdom of God. And this is the most rewarding thing Jesus ever did. It was an inconvenient truth for the disciples. Inconvenient. And can I tell you something? Authentic has been built off inconvenient obedience. Everything you're doing right now, that seat you're sitting in was someone else's sacrifice. Because I remember a year ago, we didn't have these nice chairs. We had chairs that gave you knots in your back, and chairs that made your butt fall asleep, and chairs that said, I don't know if I want to go to that church because they're plastic chairs. Don't let plastic chairs prevent you from meeting Holy Spirit. But what I'm trying to say is this, that people said, we will give money so people have a place to sit when we get to the new building. So the fact that you're sitting your butt in a chair right now was inconvenient to someone else's budget, because they said, I will give $30 to buy a chair for someone who's not in the building yet. And while we're at it, I'm going to be on the parking team, and I'm going to miss 2 songs of the worship experience, because I know some people need it more than I, but I'm worshiping out here in the parking lot, showing people where to go. You should park here. You should park here. Check out my vest. I look fly. I'm serving. We got people who are back with your kids who are screaming their head off. And you know they are, because they do it all week. And yet they do it with so much grace and so much joy, and they miss the experience. Why? Because it's inconvenience that built this house, and it'll be inconvenience that grows this house, and it'll be inconvenience that continues to reach people who don't know Christ. We will not make any effect in our ministry, in our church, if we don't get inconvenient. Some of you are way too convenient. And here's the inconvenient truth. Get your butt up and do something. It's time. It's time. It's time. Sean, that's too harsh for this. You know why I'm so harsh about this and so real? Because I know the blessing you get when you get your butt in gear. I have been so blessed in my life when I finally said, Sean, quit living for yourself. Get off the sidelines. Put the helmet on. Put the gear on and get your butt out there. You might fall a couple of times, but when you get that touchdown, it's going to feel real good when someone meets Christ. It's going to feel real good when you have a testimony video about Jessica If. It's going to be a real good when you see the baptisms happen. Don't give up. I know it's inconvenient. I know sometimes you don't get sleep, but someone else is coming to heaven now because the sleep you missed. It's inconvenience, but it was never supposed to be convenient. Our Holy Spirit's a great comforter, so that means we need to get uncomfortable. We can't be comforted if we're always comfortable. Fishing for people is convenient. Really, let's think about this, though. What is more inconvenient? Fishing all night with no catch, or listening to Jesus when it's hard and catching so many fish that the boat begins to sink? Let's really think about this. What's more inconvenient? The fact that they fished all night and caught nothing? Or that Jesus says, I know you're tired, but let's go out there and let's get a fish. And they catch it. I think at the end of that, I'd be like, man, it was more inconvenient for me to stay up all night and get nothing. But the thing about inconvenience is, when God asks us to do something, it's inconvenient. Simon said this. I'm gonna pull up Luke 9, or I'm gonna pull up the main verse. Luke 6, verse 5. Simon answered when Jesus asked him to go out. Simon said this, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. What are you saying? About last night. Jesus, let me tell you about last night. I don't know about you, but what happened is as soon as Jesus asked Simon to do something that was inconvenient, his first response was to look back. His first response when he asks you to do something inconvenient a lot of times is, but I remember last time I gave and nothing happened. But my last marriage ruined me. But my last relationship and the last church I served in, I got burnt out. And the last time I did this, nothing came from it. And what happens is every time God asks us to do something inconvenient, we look back to last night. You see, the real reason why it was inconvenient for Peter and the team was because they were up all night. It wouldn't have been inconvenient if they caught up, made their Folgers, half-calf if you're Josh Steininger, the real stuff if you're Sean Jensen. I found that out this weekend. And you get your coffee, you swing through McDonald's and get your whatever you eat, and you go out to the waters and you sit there and Jesus shows up and says, hey, let's catch some fish. You're like, woo, let's do it. There's nothing going on last night, but a lot of us live in last night because there's some stuff back there that we're not proud of. And so what happens is we have this constant tension that when God says, I need you to be obedient, you look back to last night and say, but I kind of like what's back here. And what happens is we look back. This is exactly what happened right here. Peter said, okay, but look back there. Last night we caught nothing, but if you say so, whatever. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. It's so inconvenient right now. He was looking last night. But I want to show you a scripture. John 21, 3 through 6. Let me set this up. John 21, 3 through 6. I'm going somewhere. I got to build this up so you get it. These are the same people, Peter, James, and John. They're here in the story. And this is after now, this in Luke, where we just find out about the disciples. They spend 3 years with Jesus, growing and learning. Jesus goes to the cross for us, dies a death we deserve. He goes to the grave 3 days later. He gets up from the grave. And everyone freaks out, loses their mind, as you should. Because a dead man is alive. He fulfilled it. He didn't just conquer sin. He conquered the grave, which means he got rid of your sin, but now he has given you the power to live a fulfilling life. And he gets up from the grave, and then he looks at people and says, I'm going somewhere. I'm leaving. I'm going back to my Father. Stay here. The Holy Spirit's going to fall. Now, before that moment, the Holy Spirit falls, and before Jesus goes back, the disciples, after Jesus dies, they do something again. They go fishing. After they encountered God, after everything we're talking about, they've already experienced, they've walked with Jesus, they talked with Jesus, they learned with Jesus, he dies, he's in the grave, and at this moment, Peter says in John 21, verse 3, he says, I'm going fishing. We'll come too. Now, people, I talked about this a year ago, people have all different reasons why Peter went fishing. He lost his heart, he forgot that he was supposed to fish for people, he was hurt, he was broken, he didn't know what to do. In my case, what I taught last year was he wanted to have a deja vu moment. He remembered that it was this spot where Jesus called him, and sometimes when you lose passion, you need to go back to where Jesus rescued you. Because when you go back to where Jesus rescued you and the mess you were in, it reminds you that you still have a purpose, and you still have a plan, and you can still going. I just revisited 2008, all again with the worship team before this, on the lawn, 2008, Tulsa, Oklahoma. There was a band playing on stage. This dude comes out, preaches the gospel like I've never heard before. I go to the front. I lift up my hands and say, Jesus, I want everything you have. I was broken. I was suicidal. I was depressed. And everything at that moment fell off of my life. And he says, from this time on, you are living for me. And I'm going to make you fishers of men. And I got to revisit that time sometime so that I can continue to do what I do for passion. So he went fishing. He's like, I'm going back. I'm going back. And what's cool is when you go back, Jesus meets you there. He says, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they all said. So they went out in the boat. Remember, Peter just denied Christ 3 times. He's wrestling with a lot. They caught nothing all night. At dawn, all night, here we go again. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who it was. They just saw his hair waving in the wind. Verse 5, he called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some." Come on, get some. So they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Same scenario. Oh, gosh. Same scenario. Different response. They didn't go, "Well, who are you? We're the fishermen. We've worked hard all night. We're exhausted." Because they remember last time they said that. Some of you are still in the same mess you're in and respond the same way you have because you're not looking back at the past situation. This is a new day. This is maybe in the same situation, but you already learned back there how to change your response. Instead of crying about it, you're going to worship about it. Instead of running to someone else about it, you're going to run to Jesus about it. You may be in the same situation, but today your response changed. Open up that word. Pray a little louder. Worship even though people are looking at you. Sing songs to God. He rescued you. He set you free. Same situation. Your response needs to change. Their response changed. Why? Because here's what they remembered. Remember that one time Jesus said to get inconvenient? And remember what happened? We caught so many fish. It was awesome. So the response was, throw those nets in. I know who that is. So can I encourage you right now? That when God comes into your situation and he tells you to do something inconvenient, don't look last night, look forward to the blessing. At this moment, because they realized what God did, when he came to him and said, throw him back in, they didn't even look at last night. Because they remember last time they got inconvenient, a blessing came from it. And I want to encourage you today, this is my message right here. When God asks you to do something inconvenient, look forward. Not backwards. When you're serving those people and you're tired and you're exhausted, don't look at last night. Look at the testimony videos that are coming. Look at the wet floor from the baptisms that are going to happen. Look at something ahead. Say, God, if you're going to bless me, I know I'm inconvenient right now, but last time I was inconvenient, you showed up in a mighty way. Last time I turned off the TV and spent time in your presence, you showed up in a mighty way. So if you're asking me to turn off the Netflix right now, it's no inconvenience to me because you showed up last time and I'm going to be here for you. Your response needs to change today. Because he was faithful before, and he'll be faithful today. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, I know it's inconvenient to follow Jesus, but the more you follow him, your inconvenience actually turns to convenience. Now it's inconvenient not to act in faith, because you can't sleep at night, because you know God's asking you to do it. You know, it's like when you see the results of the gym. You may take 6 months, but when you see that first result, oh, I'm back in the gym. But those first 6 months, when you don't see any fruit, it's hard to stay in there. But as soon as you see that result, what was inconvenient now becomes convenient. Have you noticed that what's inconvenient becomes convenient in the middle of a crisis? That no one was taking time off to go to Houston to save people until a hurricane hit. Could it be that the crisis is people are going to hell? And Jesus is saying, now your inconvenience needs to turn to convenience. We don't have a picture of this. You see, when we have a picture that the person you're talking to this week may not live through this week and we don't know where they're going, I'm telling you what was inconvenient will turn into convenience. You'll do whatever it takes to tell them about Jesus. You'll do whatever it takes to pray for him. You'll do whatever it takes to pay for the lunch, whatever you can do. You see, guys, I'm telling you that when we look forward, your schedules will change. Your giving will change. So when you give, oh, here comes the offering segment. They do this every week. Cool Nike, Sean. Because that's what we think. Because we've seen people who have hurt the church because money was just about money. And I have no problem asking for money as a church. Because if you look around, this didn't happen without money. It happened with people giving sacrificially. And the fact that you're here, and maybe you're criticizing the fact that we had an offering, the only reason you're experiencing this experience right now is because someone wasn't a skeptic, and they had faith and believed that if I give, someone will be touched by it. And now you're in here being skeptical about it, but it actually got you here in the first place. This is how God works. This is how God works. And I want to encourage you, when you give, when God says bring back, you're not giving, you're actually bringing back what he already gave you. We should stop saying we should give today. We should bring back. We're bringing money back. And the thing is, when you give, next week we're going to do it again. Same spot, same time. Caught you. No spoiler. It's going to happen. And this is going to be a moment. Same situation, different response. Same situation. You're still in hurt. The budget's not looking good. You're still paying those bills. Same situation, different response. Why? Because I'm not looking back to last night when I gave for nothing. I'm going to look forward and say, God, if you said you will open up the floodgates of heaven because I'm bringing back to you, then I don't want to rob me of my blessing. But not just that, I don't want to rob someone else of their blessing either. So I'm not going to look backward. If my giving is going to affect someone in this town for the glory of God, I'm not going to look backward. I'm going to look forward. When I give when it's inconvenient, I'm going to see the person who's not here yet. When I give when it's inconvenient, I'm going to see the baptism tank. When I give when it's inconvenient, I'm going to see a family who was blessed when times got heavy. I'm going to look forward. When it gets tired, when it gets inconvenient, stay-at-home moms, when it's tough and you feel like you're not doing enough. I heard someone say once, sometimes the most contribution someone can do in the world is not who they are, but who they raise. And it's inconvenient right now because God's asked you to stay home with the kids. And you'd rather be working and it's tiring and it's hard. But I want to let you know today that if you would just look forward and see those kids worshiping Jesus and see those kids in the house of God and see those kids who will set a trailblaze in the schools because they are not backing down. They're full of dignity. They're full of strength. They're full of beauty. They're full of bravery and courage. Because when it was inconvenient, you looked forward. You didn't look backwards. I encourage you today that you would look forward when it gets inconvenient. It's inconvenient maybe to massage your wife, but look forward, man. Worship team, come on up. Some of those kids are like, don't ask your parents. Do not ask them. See, I bring this full circle in this aspect. I know it was kind of like a thing. And you're like, Sean, what does this have to do with fishing for people? And this is what it has to do. It's inconvenient to fish for people. Let's just get this out. Let's just get this out. Because what we do, last week we talked about our emotions, how I don't feel like it, so I don't know when to do it. So I'm waiting for a feeling. What we also do when we go out is we deal with this inconvenience. Sean, man, I would love to serve, and I would love to do this, and I would love to be about part of that, but rah, 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 rah. Mostly at that time, I just hear like Charlie Brown. Because what I really hear is, I don't care. Let's just be honest. I've been there. I still do it. And what happens is, not only do we have not a compassion, but we get wrestled that, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that fishing for people would affect my schedule. It will affect everything I do. It affects everything I do. Can I tell you something? That's okay. That's how it was designed. That's how it was designed. Jesus, from the beginning, he told the disciples from the beginning, I'm going to call you when it's inconvenient. Because what we're going to go? But didn't he say, take up your cross and follow me? You need to die daily to yourself? Following Jesus is anything but convenient. But when you see the results, same situation, different response. Some of you are just waiting. You haven't said because you said so yet. You haven't seen the miraculous catch of fish yet. You haven't encountered God yet. Do you know why we tell people to lift up their hands and worship? Do you know why we tell people to close your eyes? Not to shame people and to condemn them. This is throughout Scripture. Leaders would say, lift up your hands, bow before your God, praise his name. They would lead them to that place. You know why? Because it's inconvenient. But when you do it, something happens. You can't encounter people with the love of Christ if you haven't been encountered by it. So he says, get inconvenient. I'm going to call you when it's inconvenient. But let's do this. Hebrews 12. I want to end with this. This is about Jesus. Jesus was a prime example. Everything I speak, I try to speak from an avenue that Jesus did first, because that's who we're supposed to be like. Look like Jesus in our everyday life. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, in this scripture, they're talking about the witnesses are up in heaven. These are Peter. These are the disciples. This is Elijah. This is Moses. These are people who did amazing things in Bible. He says, we are surrounded by witnesses. You can't be a witness if you've never witnessed anything. And so we have people in heaven who have seen God work in powerful ways. Can I tell you something? They've seen God split seas. They've seen God heal people. And now they're up in heaven saying, go get them, authentic church. You got this, authentic church. The power of God is on you, authentic church. Don't get soft now, authentic church. Don't grow weary in well-doing, authentic church. We know how you feel. We've been persecuted. We've been made fun of. It was anything but convenient. But if you could see from our view, if you could see the people who are up here because of your obedience, if you could see it, we're just cheering you on. He says, now that we're surrounded by them, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You're running a race, but you're doing it with too much baggage and you're tired. Now he says this, fixing our eyes on, everyone help me out. Fixing our eyes on the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set where? Before him. You know who he was thinking about? You. Me. In sin. That's why I can't stand it. God already knows what you're going to do today and the next 20, 30, 40 years, and he still died for you. Still did. But it said that he endured a cross with the joy set, not behind him, but before him. See, when I look at my girls and I say, hey girls, we're gonna go to Walmart. Ugh! I don't wanna go to Walmart, daddy, I wanna go to the park. Right? And sure enough, I've gotten to the point where if they don't throw a fit, I might get them something nice at Walmart. And they've gotten to the point now where it's like, Walmart, woo! I love Walmart. Because now they're not looking. Because before I would just take them, here's the iPad, here's Netflix, shh, shut up, oh my gosh, girls. And I did it wrong. And it was miserable. But when you enjoy and say, you know what? Lady, you can look at me, weird all you want. Your kids cry too. These are my kids. You're not going to put any labels on them. Let them express themselves. She's a singer. She's a leader. I know she's chewing you out right now, but she's a leader. But now when I say we're going to Walmart, what are they looking at? Ooh, I want the Maui hook. I want that Reese's Buttercup. I want the plush animal. Charlie goes, yeah, 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 yeah. The joy set before him. Jesus, let's just be honest, the cross was probably a little inconvenient. Hurt. Painful. Bloody. For us. And when he was asked from his Father to come to earth and live a sinless life so we could be saved, he looked forward. He said, there'll be people like Sean. There'll be people like Jessica Ift. There'll be people who are broken and hurting. And they're going to find me. And they're going to be renewed. And they're going to have purpose. And I'm going to use them to cover this earth with your glory. I'm going to use them to bring hope to people. And I'm going to use them. And Jesus said, the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The only way you can endure the inconvenience, obedience of God is by looking to the blessing that's coming your way. John 10:10 says, I have come to give you life and life to the full. I know giving what looks like it's taking away from you, but look forward because a fullness is coming. You want to be full? Then you need to be inconvenienced. convenient. You want to be whole, then you need to be inconvenient. You want to see people set free, then you need to be inconvenient. But stop looking back to last night and start looking to the miraculous catch, because your blessing's coming, your provision's coming, your healing's coming, your love is coming. And even if it doesn't, same situation, different response. I will still worship you. I will still say you're good. I will still love you. Because you died for me. I don't know who you are right now, but you're running this race with your baggage and sin. It's time for you to get rid of that right now. If that's you, just come on up to the front. We're going to pray for you. Don't worry about the people next to you. We're all here for a reason. I know it's uncomfortable, right? It's inconvenient. But I'm telling you, if you want that thing lifted off of you right now, you won't hesitate. If you feel the freedom that's going to come from it right now, you won't hesitate. Come on down right now. Don't worry about the people looking at you weird. Come get your freedom. Come get your lift off. Come get your blessing. Come get your power. Come get it. Don't worry about them. We'll pray for you. Let's clap. Come on. Come on down. Thank you. Come on. You guys, stand on up and start praying for these people. Julie, can you go and start praying? Come on, anybody up. Let's see your freedom. Look forward. Don't look back at how you were ridiculed last time. Don't look back how you didn't feel anything last time. Don't look back how someone made fun of you. Come on, there's still people in here. Let's go. It's time to get your freedom. It's time to look forward. Let's start praying. You can lift the music over. Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name. Come on, some other people, come on up. We're here for you. We're going to pray for you. Thank you. Come on up. Yes, join these girls right here. Thank you. Come on up. Thank you, Connections Pastors Matt and Kathy Routon. We'd love for you to come on up and start praying. Tina, thank you so much. Come on up. Anybody else that says it's time for me? If this is here, your first time to church, this is what church is all about. We came to encounter God, not a philosophy, not a religion. We need Jesus. And that's what's happening right now. So we're going to pray for these people. You guys keep praying. Everyone, eyes closed out here. While they're praying, everyone that's out sitting down, if you're here and you don't know who Jesus is and you want to find Jesus, you want a new life in Christ, say, Sean, Jesus died for me and I haven't made a decision to follow him. If you want to follow him today, could you just lift up your hand? I'm not going to call you down front. We're going to pray right where you are. It's time for you to make a decision to follow Christ. Everything that's come up to this point is going to be eradicated in his love and his peace. Thank you, Jesus. If you're in here as well and you see them freedom as well, Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name for those who are responding even in the chairs. Lord, we came for an encounter. We came for a love. We came for a peace. And I pray right now that we would call you down. Father, we need you. There's inconvenience all over this house, but from this moment on, we're going to have a different response. We're going to look forward, and we're not going to look backward, and we're going to see your glory, and we're going to see what you have in Jesus' name. We're going to go in this song. Let's pick up this song. If while they're still praying, if you're out there, we're going to sing this there. Come on, stand up on your feet. Glory and praise. Let's declare it. Come on, church.